like to blow our horns when they do good, hey? But they had started that group some years now, and they went off to school. The group continued, and since they came back, they rejoined the group, and they still seek to serve the Lord in this way. The tenor was not here because he is doing the opening exercises at Emmanuel this morning. Young brother Everett Evan. The first one they sang was really a special request for me. I really love that song, Give Us This Day. And it never ceases to bless my heart when I hear it. And so we want to continue to encourage them to use their talent for the Lord. I'd like to read with you from Luke chapter 2. This is Christmas Eve. Tomorrow is Christmas Day. Some of you can hardly wait, right? I can see some of the little ones. I believe some of the older ones could shake their head too, right? You can hardly wait for tomorrow. Usually, it's a family tradition of ours. We sit around a tree and we open the gift, but before we do, we have a devotional period. We read the Christmas story, have a little time of prayer, and although all of us now are adults, you know, you could kind of feel, sense them saying, hurry up, Daddy, hurry up, finish praying, because I like to pray my prayer out. You know how that is. But we look forward to that time. And so that's tomorrow. And but as we think of today, we want to think of the Christmas story. We want to ask you to turn with me then to Luke chapter 2. And for the sake of time, I'm going to read from verse 15. Verse 15 of Luke chapter 2. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste, and found Mary and Joseph, and the babe, lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Now, of course, the focus here in this passage is the shepherds. Last Sunday morning, we shared with you Mary's Christmas song. And there, of course, we have Mary's rejoicing in the Lord, in the God, her Savior, for considering her, giving her the privilege of becoming the mother of our blessed Lord Jesus Christ. And so here in this chapter, of course, we have the story focusing on the shepherd. When we think of shepherds, of course, and especially during those times, the shepherds, of course, were very sensitive. They were a very sensitive group. They had to be. Now, you could understand that, right? They had to be very sensitive to things around them because their lives, as well as their sheep, were always threatened with danger. They were always alert and wondering what would be next because where they kept their sheep, wolves and other wild animals sought to threaten them and threaten the sheep. So they had to be very sensitive to the surrounding things, that they might be ready in any eventuality. And so shepherds for they're insensitive. Also, when you think of shepherds, they have to be quick. They have to be quick. Perhaps you remember David, when David spoke to Saul concerning fighting Goliath, David said to Saul, you know, when a lion came to take one of my sheep, I killed that lion. And then a bear came and I grabbed him with my hands and I destroyed him because they came to destroy my sheep. And David, of course, was saying to Saul, if I could destroy them, this Philistine is no match for the one that I serve. But the shepherd has to be very quick. I mean, when you're fighting a lion, you have to be quick, right? Especially a young lion. Especially a young lion. And so, shepherds were not only sensitive to surroundings, but also they were quick. And we see this coming out in this story, of course. But then, as I mentioned, they were alert. But why they were lying there or sitting, whatever posture they assumed was watching their sheep, suddenly, the Bible says, an angel appeared. An angel appeared. And the angel gave them some good news. All the angel said, for unto you is born this day in the city of David, a Savior who is Christ the Lord. You could imagine those shepherds as they listened to the angel, and then the Bible says, then they were joined by other heavenly hosts singing, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace and goodwill towards men. So one angel came, an angel appeared, and suddenly the heavens were filled with angels, and they were singing about the coming of the Savior. To them, it was good news, and they just rejoiced to hear it. And so we find that in the passage we have read, that those shepherds immediately they say, come, let us now go into Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us. And so we note their quickness. They said, come, let us go now. Don't let us hesitate. And so we have their resolve. Their resolve to go to Bethlehem. Now remember, the angel said to him, ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And lying in a manger. Now, this was the sign. He says, there shall be a sign unto you. And they went on to say what the sign was. So they would make no mistake as to who the person was that the angels were talking about. And so to me, it was important for them to go immediately. Now, reason with me, if you will. Just think, outside in a stable, the news gets out or gets around that a baby is born. Now, babies are normally born in hospitals, in a home where things are more comfortable, and the cemetery situation is a little better, and they're more warm, and so forth and so on. And so, but the angel said they were in a stable. They were in a stable, lying in a manger. Now, I want to believe that as soon as the word spread that in that stable a baby was born, somehow some people began to make some provisions to try to get them out of that stable. Because, you know, the conditions weren't the best. And I believe, of course, this is why it was necessary for the shepherds to go right then. Because if they had delayed, I believe, any length of time, they would not have found the babe in the manger. They would not have found the babe there. And so immediately they went. Immediately they went. They went at the right time. You know, it's always important to go at the right time. Especially to take advantage of an opportunity. We have a saying, opportunity knocks but once. And you and I agree with that. Perhaps for some people they have knocked more than once, but the suggestion is that if you don't go the time when the opportunity presents itself, the chances are you'll miss it. You'll miss it and miss it for good. And so we believe the same is true when it comes to finding the Lord Jesus Christ. We believe it's true when it comes to becoming a Christian, when it comes to becoming saved. Really, the same is true because the Bible tells us that the Spirit of God speaks to our hearts. You remember the words of the Lord Jesus in John's Gospel chapter 6 when he said, "No one could come unto me except the Father draweth him." You go back to the Old Testament in the book of Genesis, and there in the Old Testament, in the book of Genesis, it says, "My spirit shall not always strive with men." Now, those two verses suggest to me that there is a time to get saved. There's a time to find the Lord. There's a time to give your life to the Lord Jesus. And that's when he speaks to you. That's when the Spirit convicts you, because that's the time you are to trust him. And so the shepherds went at the right time. They didn't delay. Boys and girls and adults, those of us here this morning, you and I are to be very serious about this business about our souls. We are to be urgent about it. You see, the shepherds, they sensed that it was either then or perhaps never they would find the child. And so they went immediately because they wanted to see the thing that had come to pass that the Lord made known unto them. And so they resolved to go to Bethlehem and to go at the right time. But also, of course, to go to the right place. To go to the right place. They didn't go to Nazareth. This is where Mary saw the angel. When the angel told her about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But they didn't go to Nazareth. They didn't go to any other little town. They went to Bethlehem. That's the place that the angels talked about. That's the place the angels talked about. And so that's where they went. They went to Bethlehem. And so then, it is not only important to go at the right time, but to go to the right place. Because if they had gone to any other place, they would not have found the baby. They would not have had that wonderful blessing of finding the Christ child. Well, of course, when we apply that to our situation today, it is also important to go to the right place. To go to the right place. Now, the right place today to find the Lord Jesus is the cross. Is the cross. It says in the Gospel of Luke that when they came to the place, there they crucified the Lord Jesus Christ. There are many places people would have you to go and try to direct your attention. But the Bible directs our attention to the cross. That's the place where we sing about. We sometimes sing, "Blind eyes are made to see. Burdens are lifted." That's the cross. That's Calvary. Blind eyes are made to see. There's a wonder-working power in the blood of Calvary. So it's important to go to the right place. Now, young people and older ones, I need not belabor this point, but you know as well as I do that there are people who are talking about so many places, so many ways to get to heaven. Years ago, they used to sing a song, "You take the high road, and I'll take the low road, and we'll get to heaven one day." And that's the moral, of course, as our folk in the Bahamas used to sing it, and people used to make reference to it. Of course, When I was in Scotland, I realized where the song was born. One man was in prison, and the other, of course, the two were involved in a crime, and one, of course, was sentenced to die, and the other one was set free. And so they said to each other, "You take the high road, and I'll take the low road, but we'll meet on the banks of Loch Lomond together one day." Well, that might be true in Scotland, but it'll never be true when it comes to heaven. For Jesus says, there is only one way. There is only one way to get to heaven, and that is through him. And so it's important that we go to the right place. They went to Bethlehem, because Bethlehem was the place to go. Interesting to note that Bethlehem means the house of bread. When we think of bread, we think of sustenance of life, sustaining life. When we think of bread, we think of provisions for life. And so when we think of Bethlehem and think of the baby, it is so interesting to relate the both, that here is the bread of life lying in a manger in the town Bethlehem, the house of bread. And that's the place we are to go. We are to go to the place where we receive the blessing, where we receive salvation. And as I mentioned today, it is Calvary. And very quickly, not only did they resolve to go at the right time, oh, they said, "Let us now go even into Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass." They not only resolved to go to the right place, and of course for the right purpose, that is to see the child, but we note their reward. Verse 16 says, "And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger." They came with haste. Could you not see them running? They were always, as I mentioned, alert and quick. Look at them running now from the hillside. I do not know how far it was from where they were tending their sheep to Bethlehem, but they took off with all their speed, and suggesting to us the urgency. And beloved, listen to me, life at best is what? Very brief. It's like the falling of a leaf. It's like the binding of a sheaf. The hymn writer says, "Be in time." That's why there is an urgency. Because you and I do not know, we do not know when our last breath will be breathed. When we would breathe our last, we do not know. You know, we do not want to care people, but that's the way life is, right? That's the way life is. Everybody don't have a prolonged sickness. Everybody don't have what we call a deathbed. You know, some people in church die. Matter of fact, we've had situations like that in the Bahamas. In Nassau, people in church, and all of a sudden, they fell over and died just this year. This year in Abaco, a man walks from home to church. Perhaps you know the story, but he walks from home to church, and he walked in and he sat next to his sister. And so his sister looked at him and rests her hands upon his and says, "John, glad to see you. How are you feeling?" And he said, and he died. Wasn't even able to tell her what was, it died right there in church. Now that's a nice place to die, what you say? In church. Wonderful place. But, it scared a lot of people. But that's the way life is. That's why there is an urgency, you see. That's why Jesus says, "Come now and let us reason together. Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out." There is an urgency, friends.
There's an urgency. And we do not know when the opportunity will cease. That's why it's important. And so they made haste and went on to Bethlehem. And the wonderful thing about it is it says they found Mary and Joseph and the babe. What a reward. What a reward. You could imagine as they rushed into the stable, as they rushed in there, and when they looked, their expectation was fulfilled, and there they were, just as the angels said, and they fell down and they worshipped him. Their hearts were filled, they rejoiced, the Bible said. And whenever we find the Lord, there is rejoicing in the soul. Because, you see, when you find the Lord Jesus as your Savior, your sins are forgiven. The load of sin is removed, and you become a child of God. You become saved, and there's nothing like being saved that causes us to rejoice. But there they were. They hasted to Bethlehem, and their going was rewarded. But very quickly, you know, as I think of them rushing into Bethlehem. Now, these sheep might have been theirs. Might have been their own sheep. Or they might have been hirelings. A hireling is one who's hired. Word speaks of itself. It's hired to take care of somebody else's sheep. And you have to be very careful. The fact that where they normally keep sheep is kind of dangerous. It's kind of dangerous because of the wild animals, as I mentioned. And so they have to be very careful and very protective of the sheep. Because if any were destroyed or got away, then if they were hired hands, then they would have been responsible to replace them. But whatever the situation was, they were to be concerned for the safety of the sheep. But you know, after the angel spoke to them, you don't read where they say, "Well, now let's corral them into a place and leave them there until we come back." It says, "Let us now go." They jumped up and they ran to Bethlehem. I could imagine forgetting all about the sheep. And they should have been thinking about the sheep. They forgot all about the sheep. And they rushed into Bethlehem to see this thing which has come to pass. A lot of people who are spoken to concerning giving their lives to Jesus Christ, think about what friends would say, the risk involved, how people are going to react, what's going to happen on my job, and all the rest of them. They have a million, as we say, a million and one excuses as to why they have not given their heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ. But let me tell you, and I suppose I re-echo other people's experiences, when the night when I became a Christian, I had some folk, they were waiting for me to go to the Cat and the Fiddle. I used to love to dance. And, you know, in some of us, we got a little rhythm that you don't have to do much to see it shown, right? And I guess I'm one of them. And so they were waiting for me, and I told them, well, I was going to church, but that night when I heard the gospel, my heart became so convicted, I forgot all about the cat and the fiddle, or the fiddle and the cat. Forgot all about it. I forgot all about those folks who were waiting for me to go with them to the cat. I forgot all about what people might say. There was an urgency, and I hasted to find Christ. I found him, and went on my way rejoicing. When I went, as I was going home, then I remembered. I said, "Boy, those guys are waiting." So I stopped by the house where everybody was waiting. I said, "Man, why are you took so long?" I said, "Well, I wouldn't be going to no Cat and the Fiddle tonight. I got saved tonight." They said, "What?" I said, "Yes, I'm a Christian now. Saved by the grace of God. The Cat and the Fiddle is finished."
And they said, well, you go your way. We'll see you in a couple of weeks. That's been almost 40 years ago. I don't look that old, eh? But I've been saved almost all that time, and I've been to the Cat and the Fiddle since. I found him who saved my soul. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? You've had the experience if you are a Christian here today. You see, they were rewarded. They took the risk. They left their sheep. They didn't even worry about that. They ran into Bethlehem. And they found the Savior. And they found the one who forgives. The one who came to bring life. The one who is man's only hope. What a discovery. That's a great discovery, isn't it? We talk about Columbus discovering the Bahamas. That was a great discovery. I'm certain. But this is a greater discovery. They came and they found. And I'm going to close, but very quickly note. When they found him, verse 17 says, and when they had seen, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. They not only resolved to go at the right time and so forth, not only did they, were they rewarded, but they reported, they testified to what they had found. When you have found him, the hymn writer puts it, tell others the story, that your loving Savior would be their Savior too. That's the responsibility of every Christian. When you have come to find him as your Savior, then you are obligated to share it with others, to tell others. And so they hasted out now, and as they were going along, they told the people concerning this child. It was, they widespread the story, or they spread wide the story, and they told it exactly how the angels and how they found it, and people were moved as they told the story. They were impressed. It was an impressive report. And then I close their return. Verse 20 says, and the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Think of them. See them now. They go back out there to the sheep, out to the job, but they've gone a different kind of person. They've gone now to rejoice, and they're rejoicing. You could see how, I suppose, they're tending their sheep was so much different. They were so happy, and it wasn't a boring job, I suppose. They were so excited as they glorified God, as they praised the Lord out there on the mountainside, taking or tending their sheep. And that's what happens. You go home another way. When you trust the Lord, you go back to the job a different person. You go back to school a different child. You go back home a different child. You go as they went. They went glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. Let me ask you in closing, have you been to Bethlehem? Now remember what I said. Today, we do not go to a little town. We go to the cross. And although the cross of Christ Jesus died way back there in Jerusalem, we don't have to travel to Jerusalem to go to Gordon's Calvary where we believe Jesus was crucified. We can go to the cross right here in Shirley Heights Gospel Chapel, right here this morning. We can go to that cross and find the Savior. Just like those shepherds went to Bethlehem, let me ask you, have you been to, let me just say it this way, to our Bethlehem today or to the cross? Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? You can, you know. In the midst of all of the tinsel and all of the junkanoo drums and all the rest of it, you can go. You can go to the cross and find the Lord Jesus, the Savior of the world. You're saved. You can do that today. Right here in this place. And find Him. Whom to know is life. Everlasting. Would you bow with me for prayer, please? With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, may I encourage you then, the quietness of the closing moments of our service, so that you realize once again that Jesus, who was born in Bethlehem's manger, to whom the shepherds went, that same one grew and at the age of 33 was nailed to a wooden cross. And the Bible is very careful to tell us that when he was nailed to that cross, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. And as you think of that in these quiet moments, may I encourage you to ask him even now to come into your heart and to save you, to forgive you of all your sins and make you his very own. He has said, him that cometh I will in no wise cast out. So if you go to him, if you trust him, if you receive him, he will not turn you away. Those of us who know the Lord, remember he is the bread of life, not only for initial spiritual life, but also for the sustenance of life day by day. We can resort to him in any situation and find him sufficient to meet our every need. Now, Father, we thank you for the lesson of the shepherds. When they heard the good news, they didn't hesitate. They went immediately. And so they were rewarded. Impress upon us this morning, our Father, we pray, that we too must respond personally to the good news of Jesus coming and dying for us. We pray that there might be that ready response this morning on the part of some, that ere they leave this place, they'll know that all is well. Thank you for steering our lives to see this another Christmas Eve, and we pray that you would bless each one. Cause each one, Father, to remember Christ this Christmas time and endeavor to glorify him. Now we ask that you would dismiss us with your blessing. Take us home safely, we pray. May the word continue to linger in our hearts as we give these thanks, asking your parting benediction.
In Jesus' name, amen. Let me say on behalf of the elders and deacons and saints of Shirley Heights Gospel Chapel, wishing to wish you a Merry Christmas, a blessed day of celebration, and may God bless you.